You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Luke, if you would. Now, where to go in the Gospel of Luke? Chapter 4. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer, and our God and Father, head and heart bowed in your presence, for your outworking. God, when it's all said and done, that's what it's going to be. Your wonderful outworking of our wonderful exercise of knowing you and honoring you. So deal with us. We'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, chapter 16, I want to go back, if I can, a little bit in history. God, Genesis 1:1, God in the beginning. God is God. When nothing else is, God always is. No matter how you cut the cookie, God is. And everything is about God. He's the creator of everything. He is the savior of all. He's the only one that can put the pieces together. God can only be God since he is only God. And therefore, there are no helpers, there are no equals, there is no other person. God is uniquely, supremely different than all us humans and all angels. And therefore, God has to be the centerpiece, because there is no one else. Just God, fortunately. He's the only God and only Savior. He says so repeatedly. Now, having said that little bit, in our study of the Gospel of John, if you would keep in mind in Genesis and chapter 1, you don't have to turn there, and God in the beginning created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God moved, brooded, as it were, over, moving over, animating, imparting power. So God took that which he put out there on the canvas, he took that and brought that all together. Everything in the heart and mind of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost, he put together that which he has in mind, creation. Earth, the centerpiece, and then everything, the universe, trillions of galaxies around it, not stars, galaxies. Awesome. God did that in a moment of time. The Spirit of God put that together. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That God in his triunity, God did it in his wonderful thing. God did that. God had to do it. Now hang on. In the light of that, over to moving through history, God being God over and over again in all of the different ways in sacred and secular history. Here we come now to the Gospel of Luke and in chapter 4. And our Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea, God, a very God, like we studied in Sunday school. Now, so therefore, when you come, he begins his public ministry. And chapter 4, verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. So, God, how did the Lord Jesus Christ, in his perfect humanity, act, move? The Spirit of God was the power behind him, moving him. So, how did the perfect man, to be a perfect God, to be our perfect Savior. How did God enable him to do so? The Spirit of God enabled the Lord Jesus Christ to go through 40 days and 40 nights under the temptation of the God of this world, the devil. That's what he did. And how did he survive 40 days and nights of constant being tempted, tested by the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry was to bring forth in the perfect humanity of Jesus Christ the wonderful power and life of God, which is righteous. Now, hang on to that. That's what God did, and he did it in his most awesome and wonderful way. So, over now, move to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John in chapter 4. Our Lord Jesus Christ totally, 1,000%, looked to the Spirit of God. That's how he did it. He's perfect man, perfect God, but he was subjection to show the manhood, to show he was representing us humans. So therefore, in chapter 4 of the Gospel of John, and in chapter 4, and may I pick up, please, to the woman at the well, you would remember in our study, and the woman at the well, and verse 10, and Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. And she had to awaken to the fact that it wasn't her serving him, it was he serving her. So sliding down to verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water, like the water we drink of, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. A wonderful, wonderful supply where you don't have to drink. Remember, our Lord was 40 days and 40 nights without food or water. Because the issue was God. God kept him. Like Moses up in the mountain, Mount Sinai. Now, so having said that, sliding over, if I can, to chapter 7. And in chapter 7, may I pick up, please, again, the movement, going to verse 36, 7 and 36. What manner of saying is this that he said, you shall seek me, and ye shall not find me. And whither I am, whether you cannot come. So they were trying to figure out how he was helping them understand who he was and what he had to do on Calvary's cross. Verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, but to the woman at the well, she was there at the middle of the day to get water. If any man thirst, the woman at the well needs to thirst always, always, every day, all the time. And I don't know how humans ever survived before pool and springs came into existence. Because we didn't used to walk around with water. I don't remember anyone ever having water. You know, on outings you'd go and hope you'd find a spring or a well to get water, you know. Now, so here they are, and God's going to supply water. And if any man thirst, verse 37, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, your Old and New Testament, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But, now help us God, and he does, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. In other words, we're believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're trusting him to save us, going to the cross. They which believe on him should receive the Holy Ghost, which was not yet given, Why isn't the Spirit of God yet given? Because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, what's he given to? He's in charge of everything. It's his ministry to take care of everything that God creates, to have it work out in the light of Christ's death on the cross. Everything has to work out. That's the Spirit of God's ministry. So, what does he have to do that he has to wait for the Lord? Our Lord Jesus Christ had to go to the cross. Back over, if you can, to John chapter 14. And our Lord Jesus Christ had to go to the cross and die. And he cannot produce and give you the life that he has. In fact, let's do it a little differently. Go over to chapter 16 first. And in chapter 16, we shared together in our last studies, as we've been doing, verse 7. The Lord Jesus said, nevertheless, to the disciples in the upper room, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, necessary, absolutely necessary, for you, profitable for you, that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So the Lord Jesus Christ, in his perfect humanity, was totally dependent upon God. Spirit of God. That's how he did. All the way to the cross, etc. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I have to finish what I'm doing before he can come and comfort, come to your aid, and produce. Produce what do you have to wait for, Spirit of God? I've got to wait for Christ to die and rise again, because the wonderful thing that God has made possible is that you, that the believer would inherit, would be able to have and house our Lord Jesus Christ in their heart, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So therefore, having said that, the Comforter will come. But if I don't go away, he can't come. Now, and when he comes, he will convict, reprove, convict, convince by trial, by going and putting under, to prove by, in other words, God is going to prove that Jesus Christ and all that God has made known, all that God has made known to be true, is real and is right. And the world system that denies light, left in darkness, denies evil, denies good and left with evil, they are going to have to understand that God is right and they are wrong. Now, God, you're going to demonstrate that. He did. He died, was buried, and rose again. They wanted a sign. The only sign he's going to give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah, who was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. That's the only sign. How are you going to do that to an unbelieving Jew and Gentile world? How are you going to do that? I'm going to do that through believers. I'm going to take a whosoever and save them in a unique, wonderful way. I'm going to enter into their heart as they receive me. I'm going to die for their sin. They're going to recognize that I die for their sin. They're going to recognize the need of a Savior, a solution to their lack of life, their lack of relationship to God, and they're going to believe, and they're going to be saved. And when they're saved, they're going to represent me in a wonderful way. And they're not going to have them walk around glorious supermen, women. No, I'm going to take them ordinary sheep, ordinary nobodies, ordinary people, and I'm going to save them. And I'm going to show who saves them. I do, said God. I save them. I'm the only Savior. I'm their God. I'm the only God there is. There's no other one. I'm going to show that I'm the only Savior and the only God. How are you going to do that? That is the verse 8. And when he has come, he will reprove, convince, convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. How are you going to convict them? I'm going to go and take that vessel of dust and clay that I made, and they receive me, whosoever receives me as their Savior, and I'm going to go and save them. And they're going to believe on me, verse 9, remember, of sin because they don't believe me. Not because they're bad. They're all bad. We're all bad. Christ died on the cross for all of our bad, of all of our old nature. We've been forgiven on Calvary's cross. But the only thing that needs to happen is you need to receive him as your Savior. That's the only sin now. So therefore, verse 9, of sin, singular, because they don't believe. You aren't convicting them whether they beat their mother or their father or whether they robbed a bank. No, I'm going to convict them about their need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is their only Savior, the only God. That's what I'm going to do. And who's going to do that? The Spirit of God's going to do that. He's going to go. It's his ministry to save. His wonderful power to save. So the Spirit of God, you're going to what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to help them. How are we going to be a witness? We're just us humans, just as we are. That's right. That's all we are. But God is able to save us. And when we receive him as our Savior, he saves us. And we're supposed to enjoy being saved. We're supposed to experience, learn of me. We're supposed to enjoy being saved, forgiven. We're forgiven critters on planet Earth. We're forgiven by God. Who's sin against when you're all done? The sin isn't against each other, it's against God. So God, here we are, and you forgive us. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to do that. It's always his ministry. He's the comforter. Who else is going to do it? He doesn't give creation anything. Read histories. Look at history. God is God. When anything good and things work out, God has a wonderful plan for our lives. God's doing it. Well, what happens when we get saved? God did it. How are we supposed to enjoy being saved? God does it. God does it. The Spirit, it isn't a new thing. God always did it. God always has to do it. He's the only God and only Savior. There is no one else to do it. There is no one else. He's the God to save it and believe. Secondly, what are you going to do? A sin, righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And we share together the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make you understand when Jesus Christ, we did all these things, that Jesus Christ has given you his righteousness. Where is the rightness we have in our words, in our thoughts, in our deeds, in our actions? No, we're wrong. Who knows how many part of the time? Most of the time, probably. Always have piecemeal information, piecemeal thoughts. We don't have the whole thing. Like you did in Sunday school, you don't have the whole thing. Now, so here we are going, God, and you're going to produce what? A righteousness. And you're going to show that you save us. That's right. And we're to enjoy being shown, to be a vessel, to be saved. Not because we're us, or our work's good, or our health is good, or something. No, we're to enjoy it because God enjoys doing it. And I enjoy being saved, not because of me, and you could do the same, because God does it. He loves doing it. He loves you trusting him. He loves caring. He loves doing it. So we don't help him. The minute we start helping him, we lose it. So God, you're going to keep us right. Where's the righteousness? What righteousness? I did right at work. I did right at home. I did right at school. I did right with so-and-so. And maybe I did wrong. No, we don't do that. We try to do the right thing in the right way. God help us. But the righteousness that we have to stand in the presence of God, even now in whose presence we are, that righteousness comes from Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God's ministry is what? To make that righteousness ours in Christ. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you receive being saved. He's a Savior. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you receive the righteousness that you don't have. That's what you got. What are we trusting to be saved? His righteousness. We aren't trusting whether we did good or bad at work or home or school or something we said or shouldn't have said or did or did, shouldn't have done. No, we're trusting God. All of those things have to be worked out, but we're trusting God. And God's showing the rightness. And thirdly, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And the Spirit of God's going to do what? He's going to show the judgment of God. The devil is judged, as we did all of that in Sunday school. So the devil is judged, and we fought because we aren't enjoying being saved. We aren't receiving the Lord as our Savior because he died for us. Therefore, we are separated. We're still living in sin. We're dead in sins. And we end up where the devil's going because we chose. We had a right to choose. And we chose. We didn't choose to be saved. We chose not to be saved. We didn't choose to be right. We chose to be wrong. We didn't choose. Therefore, we're judged. But there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So God, the Spirit of God's going to what? He's going to make sure you're saved. Enjoy it. Going to make sure you're righteous. You're trusting God's righteousness in Christ. So we aren't figuring out, did I do it right? Did I do it right enough? No. We're trusting God. And you should be, you're guilty, absolutely. But the judgment that comes on me fell on Christ. And the judgment, I'm not condemned. I should be condemned, granted, but I can't be. Christ took my judgment. That's what he did. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to bear witness of that in a most wonderful way. Over to John 14. And you'll recall, John chapter 14, picking up, please, in a little bit of the context, verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. That's our Lord, his personal witness before he goes to the cross. The Lord said to encourage his disciples and what they were going to have and do, be able to do, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works, not greater power, but greater in number, greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless, fatherless, I will come to you. Verse 20, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. You're going to have a unique relationship to continue what? The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in you that he had for 3 1/3 years till he went to the cross. Only this time he's risen. And he's going to show what? He's going to show sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's what he's going to show. You're saved, you're righteous, you aren't judged, you're not condemned. That's what he's going to do. Who's going to do that? Spirit of God's going to do that. It's the Spirit of God's ministry. It isn't my ministry. It isn't your ministry. It's his ministry. Whoever did it, who can do it? Only he can do it. Only he can do it. Hang on. It's a wonderful thing. What happens if God said, well, I'm going to do 50% and I want you to do the other 50% of all the things I ask. So you're going to do the miracle. I'll do half of it. You do the other half. Okay. You're going to walk before me and be at peace. You do half of it and I'll do the other half. So we have to provide some peace, some power. And we have to do it. And that gets complicated. How good are you going to be? Well, I got to be good enough. Okay. But the more I understand it's God that does it, then I don't have to produce it. and I don't have to sweat. Am I making it even? Am I good enough, bad enough, whatever it is? Am I trying to figure this out all by my lonesome, what I'm doing? I'm not, I have to do that because I already count myself dead in sin, crucified, forgiven. God, it isn't about me walking in the light as thou art in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us from all sin. So God, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm going to trust you. That's the Spirit of God's ministry. The Lord Jesus said, I, in my perfect humanity, had to trust him. You, in your redeemed humanity, need to trust him. I, in my perfect humanity, trusted him to produce all that God was after. You, in your redeemed, saved personality, person, need to trust him, and he does it. It's his job, as it were. It's his wonderful assignment. It's that from creation. It's his awesome ministry. Hang on. Therefore, over back to 16. And in chapter 16, remember we did. In verse 12, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. We went through that a little bit. Now, in the meantime, what do we need to know? God, how are you going to help us with all of these things we don't understand, don't know, and don't even know how to do them? Therefore, verse 13, howbeit, if I don't tell you, be of good cheer, know this, even though you don't know, I know you need to know, said God, but at least do this. No, the Spirit of God, howbeit, in God's wonderful, wonderful grace, howbeit, and when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, howbeit, but, and that's in the conjunction, if you want to get into that, the conjunction, sometimes a conjunction goes backwards, and sometimes a conjunction goes forward. And God says, listen, how be it in the light, verse 12, you don't know. How be it, and then the conjunction says, know this, at least know this. You don't know, but know this, verse 13. How be it, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Into all truth. Okay, he's going to guide me. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So God, what are we going to know? Well, we need to know the truth. The truth sets us free. We can't. The truth, the word truth is the word reality. That which is true, real. Albeit when the Spirit of truth has come, when he comes, he will lead the way into all the truth. That's what he's going to do. He's going to lead the way into all the truth. Why? The truth, we need to know the truth. We need to know the way to go. Right? He leadeth us in paths of righteousness for his great name's sake. So God, we need to know the truth. What is the truth? You're the truth. Yeah. God is true. He tells the truth. He's the true God. He tells the truth about God. What are people supposed to be? Humans are supposed to what? Tell the truth about God by telling the truth about themselves. They were created, Genesis 1, 26, 27, in his image and likeness. They were created to show God's wonderful person. God would find his home. When God looked, he would find his home. When God looked, as it were, God was found himself in Christ. God, Christ dying on the cross, is going to show his grace. So when God looks, God, we see Christ. That's why you read Galatians 1:24 and all of those things. Paul will say, got saved. And what were the other believers saying about Paul? God is in you of a truth. That's what they're saying. It's about God. So when we receive the Lord as our Savior, God does a wonderful thing, and he's going to help us know the truth. How am I going to tell the truth about God and why I'm created? I'm created to enjoy God, to know God, to trust God, to honor God, for God to be, to demonstrate his awesome person, his glorious person. That's what I'm created for. That's what you're created for. That's why Christ died, to be of that. Now, therefore, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to help us and stay in the truth. The truth, we've got a lot of error. We've got a lot of darkness. Our minds all over the place. But God has to help us what? The Spirit of God is true. Look over in chapter 14. You know all these things. Chapter 14, verse 17. What about the Comforter, verse 16? The Comforter is the Spirit of God. How do you identify the Spirit of God? Verse 17. He is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you, etc. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. So God, where's the truth? God, you're the truth. So God, how are you going to do it? The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is what? I'm going to sin, righteousness, judgment. I want to stay true. I want to stay free. I want to stay in reality. That's the Spirit of God's ministry. To do that. That's what he wants. That's what he does. He will teach you all truth. Teach us the truth. Ah, wonderful, wonderful truth. And he will teach us all the truth. And he will go and show us. And he will come, verse 13. And when he has come, when he, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. And he shall not speak of himself. And that's important. The Spirit of God, are you going to honor yourself? No, we don't. The Spirit of God is going to honor the Son. Where is God trying to communicate? God's trying to communicate something without confusion. God sent his Son. God in Christ. God is in Christ. God sent his Son in Christ to speak to us by his Son. And God has done that. So therefore, as we look to God, the Spirit of God is going to go and help us understand God. And God is the God of truth. So therefore, as we receive the Lord as our Savior, he's going to guide us into all the truth. That means he's going to keep us on course. He will guide us in the right direction. And he's not going to speak of himself. Because why? The Spirit of God, how did Jesus Christ honor God the Father? By the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God enabled Jesus Christ to honor God the Father. We shared that so that you don't get all tied up. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the triunity of God, God's awesome person, different make, awesome being. He tells us that's all we can know and enjoy it. God being your unique. But God, we'll mess it all up. God said, no, I'm going to help you. I'm going to send my Son in order to know the Father. I am, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So, God, you got to make it so we don't have, is it the Father? Is it the Son? Is it the Holy Ghost? Which one do we do? No, the Spirit of God's going to go and honor the Son. The Son is going to make possible our understanding of God to help without it, without Christ's death on the cross. We're lost. We have no knowledge. We're out of it. So therefore, Christ goes and dies on the cross, and the Spirit of God honors that so that what? God the Son, this Jesus Christ, honors the Father. The Spirit of God honors the Son who's honoring the Father. He enables the Son to honor the Father. God, that when you receive the Lord as your Savior, God, the Spirit of God, is our honoring, our working the Lord Jesus Christ, life. He hasn't changed. He isn't working out our life because we don't have one. He's working out his life, God's uncreated, awesome life that he gives you to know him, to have a unique relationship to him. So that relationship we're to have, the Spirit of God makes possible. And the Spirit of God makes it possible. And it isn't about the Spirit of God. He says, in fact, it's definite. He said, he himself is not going to honor himself. Jesus Christ said, I'm not going to honor, I don't honor anyone except the Father. That's all I do. So you don't get confused. God the Father is the centerpiece. And knowing God the Father, you can then enjoy, by way of the Son, by way of the Spirit of God, you can enjoy the triunity, the wonderful God in whose presence we sit. Otherwise, you can't enjoy it. You got to piece me. I got a Jesus over here, and a Father's over here somewhere, and the Spirit of God, I don't know where he is. No. Don't get confused. God doesn't help us. The Spirit of God said, verse 13, he does not speak of himself. He does not do so. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. And he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So the Spirit of God is going to go and take all these things that we don't know, that we need to know. God is going to take all of these wonderful things and help us to know them. How can we know them? Through Jesus Christ, who's the way, the truth, and the life. So God, that's how. And verse 15, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Notice the word mine, M-I-N-E, mine, the mine, mine. Wonderful, wonderful, we're one. But I want you to know there's one way to do it. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make it all work. And he's the source. He's the source to make it all work in a most, most wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, he's going to show you things to come, marvelous things to come. Now, he's going to do all of that, wonderful, those things, and he shall glorify me. And when he is done, he's going to do that. So God in Christ, I'm going to receive him as my Savior, and he's going to show his wonderful life in a wonderful way to me. So now, having said that, all these things God is going to do. Now, back over to verse 12. I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. You can't know them now. You don't. But when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, verse 13, he will guide you into all truth. Now, God, how can that be? How can that be? Now, how do we get the Old Testament? The Old Testament is the result of God's wonderful Spirit of God giving by way of the prophets. That's how you got the 39 books of the Old Testament. That's how you got them. Where they come from? God. Well, who said so? The Lord Jesus did. He said, I did. But, no, God said, I did. You can say whatever you want. Well, Isaiah did it, and Jeremiah did it, and Ezekiel did it. No, yeah, that's true. But God said, that's my word. So we're going to argue. You have to argue with him. You know, we're going to go. And I don't know. I don't know anyone like him. There's no governor, no president, no king. There's no one. There's no one anywhere like him. Now, God, you said, without faith, it's impossible to please you. When we come to you, we got to believe that you are God. So, God, I'm going to start with Genesis 1:1. You start with God. I got a question. Start with God. Why am I here? Where am I going? What's this all about? Why is it here like this? Start with God. If you're trying to start out here, you'll never get the answer. You'll be all over the place. You got to get to God. So when we get to God, what are you going to do? God's going to help us to understand. Now, God, did you do that for all of us or just for them? No, I did it for all of you. Well, God, help me. So therefore, in the light of that, in all things are going to go, and all things, I'll pick it up over verse 16. I will come, I will teach you, but guide you into all truth. All truth. Okay? Going to guide me into all truth. Over to chapter 15. And you will notice, please, chapter 15, verse 26. And when this Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. He's the Comforter. God the Son is the Comforter. God the Father is the Comforter. God the Spirit of God is the Comforter. Verse 26, and when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So how are they going to know the truth? How are they going to know the truth? Well, how are they going to know? God's going to do it for them. Spirit of God's ministry, hang on, it won't be out of place to do so. Hold your finger here and go over to Peter again, just to lock it in. 1 Peter chapter 1, and may I pick up, please, in the light of the scriptures. Verse 20, 2 Peter 1, 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Malachi, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private, personal, in other words, I don't have the right to make it what I want. I don't. God meant what he said and says what he means. Therefore, prophecy came not in old time, all the Old Testament, etc., by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved, carried along by the Holy Ghost. So how did they get the Old Testament? God did it. God gave the Old Testament in his most wonderful way. Now, God, you gave the Old Testament wonderful way. Now, how's that going to help us? Well, God, how do you, now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Gospels. How could you write the Gospels? You didn't have them then. How are you guys going to write that? That's the Spirit of God said, I'm going to help you with the truth. I'm going to go back and help you with everything I want you to know. That's Matthew. How'd you get that? Spirit of God. Mark, Luke, John, Spirit of God. How'd you do that? I told you I'd bring you truth. I'm going to help you with the truth. Well, that's good. That's good. And so we got them. They wrote them. Acts, the book of Acts. Here we are. And we're looking. We're able to read them. In the translation. Now, sliding over if I can, he will show you chapter 16, verse 17. He will show you, teach you into all truth, and teach you, and I'll read it. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever shall hear, that shall he speak, but he'll show you things to come. And he will teach you all things to come. Okay, so now what am I going to do? Over to chapter 14, Spirit of God's ministry, when it comes to the wonderful 21 epistles, what am I going to do from Romans all the way to Jude? John chapter 14, verse 26. When the Comforter, but the Comforter which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, what is he going to do? He will teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So God, you're going to go and bring all of these wonderful, wonderful truths to work. And as we read in verse 26 of chapter 15, he will teach you. You're going to go, and Father, the Spirit of God is going to proceed and teach you, help us to understand the wonderful truths that God has given us. And therefore, the Spirit of God, we got the Old Testament, the Spirit of God. How could they possibly write all of those wonderful truths? Peter, James, and John, how are they going to do that? The Spirit of God's going to do that, the same as he did in the Old Testament. And so the Spirit of God's going to do all of those wonderful things and teach us all things. So God, so when it says, you aren't ready to hear, well, here we are, able to open God's Word, and inch by inch, work our way through to understand a little better, a little more, to show us, chapter 15, verse 13, and he will show us the end, chapter 16, 13, he will show us things to come. And that's where Revelation comes in. God's wonderful, wonderful plan is to go and save us. And God, Genesis 1:1, God begins. And when we come to Revelation, what does God do? He's going to tell you how it's all going to end, how it's all going to work out. And so when you come to Revelation 1, chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the spirit of God's ministry. To what? To give the Gospels, to give the 21 epistles, to give the book of Revelation. And so what? They're just fishermen, tax collectors. They aren't historians or journalists. No, they're just ordinary people. And like Amos of old, I was just a harvester of sycamore trees and stuff. All I did is take care of trees. And then God told me to speak, and I did. And that's how you got the book of Amos. God, can you do it? Absolutely. So when you're reading the Bible, I told you, rest in the presence of God. If you don't have the presence of God, then you're reading the Bible. I reminded prayer meeting. We study Jeremiah. When we're studying the events of back in history, we're in the presence of the God, presence of God, who has no history. He's already there. He's back there. We're reading about that, which he knows right now. He has it all. So we read, and it helps me. So I'm looking, God, here we are. Here's history. I don't know history. I don't know. I never was there. But God, you are. You were, you are. So therefore, we read, and we read, and look to God. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to what? Help us hold the truth, have the truth, exercise the truth, enjoy the truth. That's what we're supposed to do, to enjoy reality, being saved, being righteous, being not condemned. We're his witnesses. God, we're proving. The Lord God is perfectly right in creating the heavens and the earth. He's perfectly right in sending his son to die on Calvary's cross. He's perfectly right in having him rise again and save us, each and every one that would believe. He's perfectly right. And we're able to enjoy that. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry. It isn't yours, it isn't mine, it's his. From start to finish. About everything. It's a wonderful thing. And hopefully, I will have a growing appreciation for how God is and how he works, how he is everything. He's my God. He's our God and Savior. And that's awesome. Awesome. And I won't know how much so till I keep studying and reading and understanding. And then it dawns on me, God said, listen, it's all of me from start to finish. When you end, I'll close with that. When you end, 1 Corinthians, well, do it, it'll keep you awake. 1 Corinthians 15. Picking up if I can, going directly in the light of everything. And verse 28, 15:28. And when all things shall be subdued, subject unto him, Christ Jesus, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto God, unto the Son. The Son also himself shall be subject unto him, God, that put all things under him. The Son is going to turn around, and having put everything in order, he's going to turn around so that what can happen again in its wonderful perfectness, including angels, the good guys and the bad guys and all of it. The end of verse 28, that men put all things under him, that purpose God may be all in all. That's the point. And if nothing else, at least I got a little. God's Spirit is awesome. It has nothing to do with any of us. And I have to trust him with all my heart and let him be my God. He's going, not for himself, he's going to glorify the Son. And it isn't about glorifying the Son. No. It's getting to the Father. And what does it say in Galatians 4:6 and Romans 8? What is the Spirit of God going to say now, having said all of this? And the Spirit of God is going to say, Galatians 4:6, and the Spirit of God is going to say in the believing heart, present tense, Abba, Father. He's going to help the believing heart to say Father legitimately, in truth, for real, my Father. I had an earthly father, as you all did, I do. But that's not it. That's not Father. No. Nothing. No. Father. My Father. Legit. Real. Forever. He's my Father, your Father, is your God, the God. Your Father is the Savior. Wow. Your Father's pretty important. Your Father's pretty powerful. Wow. My Father, help us. Our Father and God, we thank you for a little bit. Help us understand more and more, a little better, God, that we can get an understanding that helps us to practice your wonderful presence in a better way and enjoy it. So, God, you got to help us. Thank you very, very, very much. Spirit of God, thank you. As you honor our Lord and honor thy word, and we, in turn, honor you, our Father. Thank you very, very much. And for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, convince them that they'd receive you. As simply as that, God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen.